This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Good morning and welcome to America's Web Radio. It's time now for Medicine on Call, and we've got Dr. Medicine herself. Dr. Elena George is on the air with us. Good morning, Dr. George.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing just great, and the sun's out. It's pretty, and the pollen will start pollinating again.
It's already working on me at this point.
I tell you that we're going to have to start beating those bees and make them do a better job of collecting more pollen or something. I'm not sure what. But I think today you were going to talk about where we've come with health care, with Obamacare going into becoming a law until Obama changes something in it again.
And I don't think they're going to change very much. It's going to be in our favor, unfortunately. You know, Captain Sebelius just resigned a few days back. And I heard yesterday that she finally said how horrible the rollout was. And, you know, it wasn't basically, to paraphrase, well thought out and well implemented. And I have to agree completely with her on that score. And the numbers that they're touting 7 million people having coverage under the new law is also not really true. I mean, the gross number of people newly insured who never carried insurance is a fraction of that. I've heard numbers estimated about 300,000 to 800,000 people who actually never had health insurance, who actually, hopefully, under Obamacare, now carry a health insurance card. And really what you're doing is you're carrying a card and you're saying that you're covered under health insurance, but there's a big disconnect between whether or not you can actually afford to see a doctor or have access to a physician. And has anything really changed? I don't think it really has. I think it's gotten worse over the course of time. And really, I mean, I've said this as a mantra, having health insurance does not equal having access to quality health care, and this just being born out day in and day out. We have people calling our office now who haven't gotten their insurance cards yet. And I really, we've been doing extra due diligence to make sure that they actually have the insurance company know that they're a part of their system and they're active in their system before we're able to see these patients. And I just find that people just, I mean, the healthcare system is on its way out. You really want to think about it. And there's a two-tier system that's really, it's here. Not like it's a theoretical thing anymore. It's here. And people who can afford to are already opting out. I just find it really unconscionable that Congress thinks it's okay and that if you complain about it, they're making you the bad guy. I have no words for it. Tell you the truth.
Well, you know, Dr. George, we have talked about this on a lot of other shows as well. And Obamacare and this and the insurance and the whole health issue, I think, and it's becoming clearer and clearer that this is just, it's one more leg of government control over all of us, be it the economy, be it, you know, they've made this thing out of immigration. We look at what they've done to our military at this point, and it seems to be that this administration, and it goes beyond this administration, but we have taken our country down, our educational system. It's all part of gaining control over we the people and destroying us in some way or the other, are making us so subservient to the government that we have no room. And one of the ways is you lower education and you control health, and then you got the populace.
Well, those are two important features of a society. You know, a society that has well-educated people who are able to function and produce and having health. If you don't have your health, you really don't have very much. And I think you're absolutely right. I had a conversation with a teacher recently because I really wanted to understand this Common Core nonsense. And, you know, this is a person who cares about what they do. And she said something that was really startling because it was exactly what they're doing with doctors. Apparently there's some sort of, I don't know, Teaching for America. I forget the name of the umbrella organization, but basically they're putting teachers into the system and who don't go through teachers training, who don't, you know, go to college to become teachers, get certified. It's like a pipeline. And it was very similar to what I thought about the physician assistant and nurse practitioner involvement in healthcare. So you have people who maybe they work as, you know, an engineer, who knows what their background is, but they can come in and teach math or science, but they're really not teachers. And they're not equal, in my opinion, to a teacher who actually trains to educate children. It's not a cookie cutter type of situation. You have to actually learn steps and how to be effective. And she also said that if you teach outside the box, if you teach outside the core curriculum, you actually try to individualize the teaching, you get demonized and you can get fired. You can get sanctioned for doing so. And I just thought I mentioned the word conveyor belt before, but this is a template where they're applying the same, you know, centralization, communitarian, It's about the Borg, if you want to put it that way. You are part of a whole. You don't have the option to think for yourself, to want to strive to be good, to be the best person you can be, because somehow that takes it away from somebody else, and then you can see the bigger picture and you won't go along and get along. So it's like they educate your will out of you. They take doctors and they try to make us work against our patients. And from an economic standpoint, you are so bent on trying to keep your head above water. You don't have time to see what's going on in Washington because you're focused on keeping your home, putting food on your table, you know, keeping your car on the road if you can afford gas prices. It's all just a stressful situation from cradle to grave, basically, where you're just put in the cycle where your only job is pay taxes, do what you're told, and go along, get along. I mean, this is not living. This is existing, in my opinion.
No question. And being told what you can and what you can't do, and that's basically the end of the story. And I'm amazed at how rapidly we're going towards this. The only little bit of glimmer of hope that I saw was with Obamacare and it finally hitting people in the pocket and them realizing mm-hmm. it isn't what it was said to be.
It's definitely hitting people in the pocket. I mean, it's a choice between paying your health premiums and doing your daily living, you know, your daily activities, paying your rent, paying your mortgage. It's a big chunk of money. Can you imagine $1,000 coming out of your pocket that if you use it and you're healthy, maybe once or twice a year, $1,000 a month is someone's rent, you know, or somebody's rent, food, you know, and clothing. Who knows? If you have children, I even know how you afford it. So, yeah, you're right. That's one good thing. It's no longer this pie in the sky. It could be spun any way you like it. I mean, they've gotten to the point now that they said that Kathleen Sebelius left because it's a win. You know, they already won. Obamacare's winning, and she did her job. It was just so ridiculous that anybody who was paying any attention would laugh at the fact that they're saying that she went out on top. Hardly. And the person coming in behind her is no better. I mean, she's basically a big corporate, she's a corporate player. I mean, it's all about genetically modified food, vaccines, and big business. That's what the healthcare situation is going to roll into, which I always thought it would. And she's going to be the perfect person with an inside track, working for Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, etc. This is not a person that's going to be doctor or patient friendly. It's going to be all about evidence-based medicine, corporate-driven algorithms, how you treat patients, what medicines you need to use. I can pretty much say that she's not going to be a friend of any holistic or metabolic medicine or alternative medicine medical options out there. And they're going to put the control grid in serious place. I'll give you an example. I read recently that Medicare is going to start fingerprinting what they call high-risk physicians. Right now, they're starting with people who do hospice care and pain control, but it's hospice care, and people who, I guess, deal with durable medical things like wheelchairs and, equipment that seniors may need at home. As soon as that comes to line, nobody complains about it. It's going to be all Medicare providers. Then it's going to be all physicians throughout the country. And there actually are states, if you become a physician, you get licensed. You have to do an FBI background check and give your fingerprints just to get licensed in the state. So this is a huge, it's a police state, pseudo medical system that we're dealing with. And it's just, nobody signs up as a doctor to do this. And if they do, once they get into this and they're not into this, they're not going to stay very long. And I'm hoping that doctors out there will start to really wake up and decide that their patients are the most important thing about their practice and not being a victim like the patients are of this medical industrial complex is really what it's becoming. And as long as we're able to, I think doctors need to opt out of the system, follow an independent practice as much as they possibly can, opt out of third payer payments, and go fee for service. Because, I mean, if ultimately it's the doctors and the patients that drive this system, and it should not be the government and the insurance companies. And if we said, I'm not doing it, you're not going to make me do this, hopefully we can have the same result as the ranchers out in Nevada. That would be my hope.
Well, unfortunately, that was a ticking bomb that hasn't gone away totally at this point, in my opinion, and in Harry Reid's opinion, which I don't care for his opinion at all. But, the handwriting on the wall is that in medical care, and again, this is my opinion, but we're gonna face some exactly the same things. The federal government or the local military, whatever you want to call them, be it the local police or whatever, and the irate citizens, and they're going to start facing off. And in all situations, it's due to money, and people want to take care of their kids, and if they can't afford it, they're going to be very upset. With that being said, Dr. George, we need to take our first break. We'll be back with Medicine on Call right after this.
Spring is in the air, literally. So follow Sniffles to Atlanta Center for breathing easy. Weeds, spores, grass, pollen. Airborne allergen levels are through the roof, putting your allergies into overdrive. It's time to follow sniffles.com.
Follow me and breathe easy.
End your annual ritual of taking medication to alleviate facial pressure, facial pain, congestion, and headaches by treating the problem, not the symptom. Balloon sinuplasty just could be the cure you're looking for. This proven in-office procedure can have you breathing easy, back to work the next day. FollowSniffles.com.
Follow me and breathe easy.
Your severe sinus and nasal symptoms gone once and for all. Get lasting relief, a quick recovery, and start breathing easy again. Call us at 404-591-9100. That's 404-591-9100.
Follow me and breathe easy.
FollowSniffles.com.
Hi, this is Kate Copsey inviting you to listen year-round to America's Homegrown Veggie Show every Saturday at 10 a.m.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that algae season in Georgia is year-round? Beginning in July through November, ragweed is the predominant pollen. But February through May, tree pollen causes allergy symptoms. Grass pollen occurs from mid-May through the beginning of July. If you suffer from daily nasal congestion, sneezing, runny nose, headache, ear clogging or popping, or a chronic cough, these symptoms may be due to allergy and not infection. You should also think of allergies if there is no fever, chills, or colored mucus. Treatment should include nasal salt water sprays over the counter or antihistamines that do not cause drowsiness. If you have persistent headaches, a decrease in your sense of smell, or nosebleeds, you should see an ear, nose, and throat physician. Please join me on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. This is Dr. George. Before the break, we're talking about the end game, again, of the healthcare system, of this medical industrial complex, and how doctors and patients are now being forced into a system that works against both of their interests. And, you know, there's been writing on the wall about the thought processes behind the Obamacare law that has been out there, written about, that people have just ignored. Ezekiel Emanuel, who is the one of the architects of this system, has written extensively. He's a bioethicist. He does not practice medicine at this point, seeing patients. And his whole mantra, his mindset, is that to control costs, you have to ration care. And I ran across an article that I didn't even know, some of the things that he had said, which make perfect. I said it all along, and he put it into words exactly what I think has been happening. I've said all along that I think that doctors are being forced into choosing to practice between practicing medicine, using the Hippocratic Oath, or becoming agents of the government. And I was right. I mean, there's an article from April 1st in the American Thinker entitled Ezekiel Emanuel's Reaper Curve. And in it, and I'll quote some of the text of it because it's just shocking. According to Emanuel, true reform must include redefining doctors' ethical obligations. And June 18, 2008, in an issue of the Journal of American Medical Association, he wrote, he blames the Hippocratic Oath for the, quote, overuse of medical care. Quote, medical school education and postgraduate education emphasizes thoroughness, he writes. This culture is further and reinforced by a unique understanding of professional obligations, specifically the Hippocratic Oath's admonition to, quote, use my power to help the sick to the best of my ability and judgment, as an imperative to do everything for the patient, regardless of cost or effect on others. And so he thinks that's the problem. We're working for the good of our patient. That means you follow the disease process. You stay with the patient. You follow it to the end. And the cost does not come into play. It's about the patient. That works completely against Obamacare. That works against this new healthcare delivery system where it's all about denying care, about ratcheting down what you do for the patient, you know, spending your resources on those that are felt to be the most worthy in society. And if you go extend it out to this complete live system, that's people between the ages of basically 18 and 35. Anybody who falls outside of those parameters are not worth spending medical dollars on. They should be made comfortable or they should die. And right now they're talking about seniors, and I'm predicting this. They're talking about seniors and limiting their end-of-life care. And right now they're saying, oh, the last 3 months are where all the money's spent. It's not the last 3 months. It could be longer than that with some seniors. And ultimately, once you stop complaining about that, it's going to start becoming younger and younger. So it's going to drop to 70-year-olds and 60-year-olds. And it's going to really follow this complete life system where your access to care, money spent on you, the doctor's willingness to fight for you, to give you this, you know, life-saving treatment plans and options won't be given to you. And the way you treat the least of us in our society, and the most vulnerable. If you allow that to happen, it will happen to everybody, whether you're young or old. So let me get your genetic DNA, your genetic information, which is also coming. And they take children's DNA from the time they're born now in many states, and they keep it for years. So they know exactly what the DNA makeup of the child is. They're going to be able to tell you, oh, you know, you're going to get life-threatening disease down the road. So, no, we're not going to spend time or money on you because you're going to die young or you're going to have a costly disease. Whatever this information is, I don't believe it's going to be used for good. I believe it's going to be used against people in order to control them. You won't be able to get a job or you won't be able to, you know, live your life to its fullest potential based on what your, quote, DNA says. And it's just like these people, these doctors who counsel women with the BRCA gene, the gene for breast cancer, that should get their breasts removed. Just because you have a gene doesn't mean you're going to get a disease. There's so many different factors involved. What you eat, your lifestyle, emotional triggers, everything that involves living also has a chance to supersede or intervene on your genetic manifestation, you want to put it that way. So you can't say 100% you're going to get a disease just because you have a gene. But this is how the system is built. It's very mercenary. It's cookie cutter. It's once you've been labeled with this scarlet whatever, then they're going to control what happens to you. That's not what medicine's about. It's an art. It's about the individual. It's about not just because you have a diagnosis doesn't mean you're going to have the same outcome as a textbook says you're going to have. And when people realize or when this grid really comes online and doctors are not going to be able to treat you, they're going to give you a diagnosis and then give you a trip to a hospice. This is the end point. Nobody signed up for this. I don't care if you're liberal, you're conservative, as long as you're a human being, everybody deserves to live their life, their God-given full potential. And these people and this government, this society, is trying to take that from people. And people need to stand up and stop being sheep.
You know, Dr. George, I posted something on Facebook yesterday. If you want to scare the hell out of a politician, the way to do it is be informed and inform others. And, you know, that's what you do, and that's what we're all trying to do, is give people information. I don't want anybody to believe me. I want to pique a nerve that will make them go and look it up and find out for themselves. And this is the only – and take care of themselves. And this is the only way that, just like you're saying, the only way this is going to work or make a change is that people have to grab onto their own lives and be responsible, from eating habits, sleeping habits, to any other habits they have, to stay away from the medical issues if they can. And then when they do see a doctor, talk to them. Let them know where they are. And I think I think you appreciate it when a patient comes in and gives you more information. It makes your job that much easier, and you can, you know, just make your decisions. But people are going to have to become informed if we're going to make it.
They have to become informed, and they have to love themselves. They have to care about themselves. Nobody cares more about you than you. And if you don't find or you don't think that you're worthy of the best, then you won't get it. I don't care where you are and what state, what station in life, your race, your sex, it doesn't matter. If you don't care, you don't demand to be treated like the worthy person that you are, and that you don't want more for yourself, you will never survive this system, because it's all about, you know, stamping out your individuality, stamping out your will, making you think that it's bigger than me and I can't do anything. That's what the system's driven by. It's driven by fear. It's driven by apathy. And they're trying to overwhelm us with just a spirit of an overwhelming negativity. where you can't take care of yourself, the government needs to take care of you. And why bother? Why try? You're just a small little cog in this wheel, and you don't have the right to speak up for yourself. As long as one person does it, that to me is, that's what you need, at least one person, like this guy in Nevada. I don't know how this is going to come out, but I respect the fact that he is standing up for his rights, and he's standing up to Goliath, and I think he's going to win this. And if we all do this in our way, then the system will break. It depends on our acquiescence to it. It depends on our apathy. It depends on us saying, why bother? You know, I'll just go along and get along. It's the other guy. It doesn't affect me. It affects everybody. Everybody is being affected by this. And again, down the road, this is not going to get better. It's going to become more in your face. The fact that somebody's deciding, or somebody's written, and again, to go back to the manual, in 2009, in The Lancet, there's a graph called the probability of receiving an intervention, a medical treatment, versus age in years, X and Y coordinates. And the maximum treatment happens between 20 and about 35, and then it drops off to basically nothing around age 55 to 70. And it's basically nothing at the beginning of life. So, I mean, ultimately, they're telling you what they're going to do to you. They're telling us what they're telegraphing what they're going to do to us in a medical system that they're creating. And we're paying into this system with our apathy, with our, I'll just take another medication. I'll just take another pill. I don't know what I'm taking. But if my doctor says that I need it, then I'm just going to get it. It's ridiculous. Honestly. This system is so rigged, it's so corrupt, and until and unless we wake up to it, stop playing this game, stop becoming pawns in it, it will run us over.
You know, we're going to take a quick break here in just a second, but when we come back, as you were talking about this and where we are, this, for anybody that has been in the military, this is exactly what we're going through right now, is exactly what you go through when you are in the military, just coming into the military. And if you don't mind, we'll talk about it a little bit when we come back from this break. You're listening to Dr. Elena George, Medicine on Call on America's Web Radio. We'll be back in just a moment.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that chronic nasal congestion, a decreased sense of smell, and asthma can be signs of allergies? Allergies are caused when the body is exposed to things you breathe in or eat that the body does not like. The body's immune system reacts and attacks it, what it perceives to be the enemy, even if it causes no harm, like pet dander or dust. This leads to swelling. In the nose, this causes congestion. In the bowel, it causes stomach bloating and diarrhea. In the lung, it causes shortness of breath and wheezing. And in the skin, it causes hives and itching. The first line of defense against allergy is avoidance. Dustproofing, washing pets, and keeping them out of the bedroom can help with environmental causes. For food allergies, keeping a diary of things eaten and reaction to them is helpful. Allergy testing is less time-consuming and is a safe and effective way to identify allergies. For a complete evaluation, you should see your allergy specialist.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
Spring is in the air, literally. So follow Sniffles to Atlanta Center for breathing easy. Weeds, spores, grass, pollen. Airborne allergen levels are through the roof, putting your allergies into overdrive. It's time to follow sniffles.com.
Follow me and breathe easy.
End your annual ritual of taking medication to alleviate facial pressure, facial pain, congestion, and headaches by treating the problem, not the symptom. Balloon sinuplasty just could be the cure you're looking for. This proven in-office procedure can have you breathing easy, back to work the next day. FollowSniffles.com.
Follow me and breathe easy.
Your severe sinus and nasal symptoms gone once and for all. Get lasting relief, a quick recovery, and start breathing easy again. Call us at 404-591-9100. That's 404-591-9100.
Follow me and breathe easy.
Follow sniffles.com.
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. This is Dr. George. I really believe that every individual has power, and every patient has more power than they think that they have. I mean, I've counseled my patients, and I've said this on my show before. You need to have a discussion. If you don't like your relationship with your doctor, for whatever reason, they don't listen to you, they try to push drugs instead of fixing the problem, they try to treat the symptoms. I don't care what the reason is, if you're not happy, find a doctor who will listen to you and take responsibility for your health. If you're on 20 medications, it's in your interest to go and talk to your doctor about, why am I on this medication? What do I really need to be on? What can I come off of? It's totally reasonable. Seeing how much medications cost these days and knowing that people are on medications for side effects of other medications that they're on. If we could streamline how many medicines, I mean, the average patient is taking over 11 medications. And over, I think they said 80% of the American population is on some sort of pharmaceutical. This is crazy. That's one of the reasons that the healthcare costs are so high, and they're artificially high. Start talking, having a conversation about the true cost of things. If it can be changed to a generic, that's one way to save money. Coming off of it completely, what can I do lifestyle change-wise to stop needing the medication? Many people are on high blood pressure medicines and cholesterol medicines they may not need to be on. It's a lifestyle disease. It's what you eat. It's the fact that you don't exercise. I mean, the same mantra. But people need to start doing this instead of depending on a pill to help them. Everything you take is a controlled poison. It has consequences. You may not know what they are, but they're happening. Your nutritional status suffers. You can't absorb certain vitamins. For example, if you take Nexium, your magnesium level gets affected, which can affect your bone density, which can lead to osteoporosis. I mean, there's all sorts of dominoes that happen. Nothing, in my opinion, except certain, rarely. You need to be on a drug every day for the rest of your life. That is the goal of the pharmaceutical industry, is to keep you on something once a day, or maybe more, who knows, every day for the rest of your life. That's how they make their money. So now there's a new product on the market I've seen on commercials for irritable bowel disease and constipation. Instead of loading up on this new thing, why don't you try probiotics, digestive enzymes, drinking water, exercising first, instead of going for the most expensive iteration? I mean, that Abilify, I heard, is like $800 a month, that drug that you take because your antidepressant medication isn't working. It should tell you something. If you have to take a second drug because the first one isn't working, they don't work. And if they do work, they work for a short amount of time, and then they stop working. So you need more to get the same effect. And $800 a month just for a pill, it's outrageous. I mean, it's just, and it doesn't even do anything, really. I mean, think about all the people who've, they never say this either, the people who've been involved with these shootings, about 99% of them are on some sort of antidepressant or anti-anxiety medication. And yet they're talking about the guns as if they're the problem. I just want to know why nobody ever says, why are they always, the common denominator is they're always on these meds. Is that the reason that they go out and shoot people? I mean, I just think that's a question that needs to be asked and a conversation that needs to be had. And it never happens. It's kind of strange, like you're ignoring the elephant in the room. Yet they want to put more people on these things. Incredible, isn't it?
Well, it comes back to what we keep talking about, and that's control. You have someone on your pill every day, you control them. It's all about control. Mm-hmm. in one shape, form, or fashion. You control their bank account. You control their health. You control, control. And once you control them, then you can do anything you want.
Well, yeah, and you know what they're thinking. Predictive, you know, predictive programming on Google. They know exactly what your shopping habits are, you know, what websites you go to. I mean, this is really kind of, it's interesting. They think we're lab rats, basically, that, you know, you can dangle a carrot and we'll just do whatever, you know, for whatever little reward they want to gain, give us. It's sick. At least it's becoming obvious. I hope more people are waking up to the fact that you're trying to manipulate me. I know you're trying to manipulate me. I'm not going to play the game anymore. I think a certain segment of the population is waking up to that fact. I just want it to be faster so that we can turn the corner on this. The longer we wait to get to the to get our power back, the harder it's going to be to do it. I don't think it's going to be impossible, just harder. And right now we're at a crossroads. Obamacare has not been implemented completely. They haven't, you know, put in the mandate or enforced the mandate for small businesses and corporations. So we do have some time before the whole thing rolls out. I think there's been a lot of movement towards young people not signing up, which I think is great. Knowing that there's an option with, you know, health sharing ministries, short-term health insurance, the self-pay patient, Sean Parnell's book, people should read that. And they should go on Amazon and get that. It's a great book, and it's a really short, and it's really cost-effective for giving you options on how you can avoid losing your health autonomy, which is what you're trying, what they're trying to take from you. Certainly, it starts with you as an individual. It's not, someone's not going to be able to help you through this. I think people need to, I mean, we're giving them the resources. I think you're right. Don't take our word for it. Go online and read it. I just tweeted out the article that I read, that I quoted about Ezekiel Emanuel and the culling, the system of culling that we're coming, that's coming on board. And I'm going to tweet the Medicare, doctors being fingerprinted for Medicare article that I read also. So that gives you some place you can start. You can go to my blog, DrElenaGeorge.com. I've been writing for, I guess, 3 years now. And everything that I ever write, there is a link to where I got my information. So you can start by going back to my resources and then working from there. So trying to make it as easy for you as possible. And knowledge is power, and it's very addictive. As soon as you realize that there's a bigger picture out there than what you hear on TV at night, what you read on, you know, the newspapers, you start to realize that, hey, there's, I want to know more because I'm not getting the whole story. And the spin, I mean, it's amazing, the spin. Last night, I was watching Megyn Kelly's show, and there was a segment about Jenny McCarthy, who used to be against vaccines, or has stated that she's against what's in vaccines for causing autism. Her child has autism. And they were reading to her the Riot Act because she, quote-unquote, changed her mind. Now she's for vaccines. And what she basically said, if they had really stopped their spin, she wasn't against vaccines. She was against what's in them, the adjuvants, the aluminum, the mercury, squalene. God, they have all sorts of things that you can't even imagine that are in these that have been shown they're toxic. They're neurotoxic. In and of themselves, you would not put aluminum in your body because it causes nerve damage, just like you shouldn't put NutraSweet in your body for the same reason. So they're saying that she was basically causing parents not to vaccinate their children. It was so irresponsible of her to speak up, and now she's changed her mind. So basically trying to demonize her without knowing anything about the science. And so when it comes to things like that, when it becomes something that's mandated that you take, like taking a vaccine, which you're trying to shove down everybody's throat to put your child in school. I mean, you're in hospitals, they give them to you. I think it's in your interest to read something about it. And an article recently came out that aluminum, which is one of the major players in vaccine, in the vaccine, in order to ramp up your immune response, actually can cause autoimmune diseases. And I thought this for a long period of time, but someone's actually done research on it, and it's becoming really obvious that certain patients are susceptible to this, and it's causing just an onslaught of autoimmune diseases. And I think you should be informed if you are going to get a vaccine or bring your child in to get one. I just don't want to trust anybody. Just do it because I say so. That's not a good enough reason. Unless your pediatrician can tell you why, or they've read up on this and they can tell you that there's absolutely nothing wrong with these additives into the vaccine, then I would question them. There's nothing wrong with that. You're not a bad parent to do that, in my opinion. But if your child is susceptible, if their GI tract is vulnerable, then they won't have a good outcome from taking a vaccine. Studies are there, and they're growing. It's not like there's none. They just say that there's none, but there are plenty.
You know, we're blessed and we're demonized at the same time, and I've thought a lot about what if. We're blessed from the fact that we have the ability. The knowledge is out there. We may have to dig a little bit, but we have the tool, the internet, to go on and find out, ask the question, and find out what comes up. And I've found that sometimes the best results is to ask questions, but ask a number of different questions, and don't just rely on the first thing that pops up on the internet. Demonized by it from the standpoint that, you know, I've thought a lot about if this administration does give up our internet that's ours. Mr. Gore didn't design it, but it does belong to us. What that's going to mean to the flow of information?
Going to be compromised. And it's a blessing and a curse. It allows us to be looked at, or, you know, for us to be surveilled, but it also gives information. And that's why they're trying to shut it down, or make access difficult, or shut down sites that are offensive, quote unquote, because they don't want people to have information. And this is the time that you need to go out there and get it before it becomes harder to do or harder to attain. I mean, this is like the market, it's like the public square. There's people who know stuff that you don't, and they're kind enough to put it out on the net. It's up to you to go there and search it. It's a fascinating thing to do. Once you get into the habit of doing it and going outside the typical box, it becomes a wealth of information, and your mind just starts to think in a different way, and you start to question things. The most important thing is it's about questioning things. And, you know, I'm a scientist. You have a question. You do your research to prove it or disprove what your hypothesis is. And instead of having someone spoon-feed you what they want you to think, you need to start doing your own due diligence and then they become powerless. That's what nobody in centralized government wants. They don't want you to think because what they're doing makes no sense. Does it make sense for Common Core to come online where a child can say 1 and 1 is 3 because I say it is and I think it is and that's right? That doesn't make any sense to me. Why? Nope. If parents really understood, I don't think they do. They can't. Or those that do have taken their children out. And the fact that they can take children who need education, the poorest people in our country are the most victimized. They're trying to cut out charter schools, which are really the only hope that these children have of escaping a crappy public school system in some of these states. They're trying to cut them off from that. That's horrible. I mean, what gives someone the right to say your child deserves to stay in a system that's broken, that won't educate them, that'll basically make them put them in a pipeline to jail, and you should like it and not complain about it. And if you do, you're racist. What kind of system is that? If people really thought about that, instead of winning and losing at all costs, you know, being a team player and having their team win, they would start to really be up in arms across the board. It doesn't matter if you're white or black. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter what your religious affiliation is. We all want the same thing, which is to live well, live long, high-quality lives with our families, with our friends. You know, nobody wants to hurt anybody, but these people are making us act like lab rats who are just, you know, it's like a Pavlov response at this point. You say the word racism, the brain turns off. They're making us try to live by our emotions, which are not logical. You know, what we're doing to ourselves is not logical. Wanting health insurance that you can afford and thinking that you're going to be able to access it and get what you want for free, it's a cognitive dissonance is what it is. It's strange. And they're doing a really good job at it. But I think if those of us who are able to see through the fog, if we keep saying this is wrong, this is not working, hopefully people will wake up and realize that they're going in the wrong direction and they're not helping themselves.
With that, let's take our last quick break. We'll be back with more of Medicine on Call and Dr. Elena George right after this.
Spring is in the air, literally. So follow Sniffles to Atlanta Center for breathing easy. Weeds, spores, grass, pollen. Airborne allergen levels are through the roof, putting your allergies into overdrive. It's time to followsniffles.com.
Follow me and breathe easy.
End your annual ritual of taking medication to alleviate facial pressure, facial pain, congestion, and headaches by treating the problem, not the symptom. Balloon sinuplasty just could be the cure you're looking for. This proven in-office procedure can have you breathing easy, back to work the next day. Followsniffles.com.
Follow me and breathe easy.
Your severe sinus and nasal symptoms gone once and for all. Get lasting relief, a quick recovery, and start breathing easy again. Call us at 404-591-9100. That's 404-591-9100.
Follow me and breathe easy.
Followsniffles.com.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Contest, huh?
Yeah, we're going to be doing a contest, and we're back on Medicine on Call with Dr. Elena George. All people have to do to enter the contest is go to our website, americaswebradio.com, click the register here button, and no obligation. It's all just for the fun of doing it and getting people interested in the different shows that we do, like Medicine on Call.
Well, that's pretty neat. So, life should be fun. You shouldn't be put upon just to live your life. I think it should be fun. And you should live a good life, live a healthy life. And a lot of times it means stepping outside of the box and doing something different. I'm an optimist, I think, overall. We talk about a lot of negativity or negative things, but it's to bring it to light so that you can know that you have another chance, another choice, another option around this. And, you know, this is a health-based show. So the last 4 weeks, the people who have come on the show have been here for a reason, which is to give people the chance to see that you don't have to enter a system that you get priced out of, that you don't have to be seen by people who don't even look at you, don't even touch you in an exam. Write a prescription and walk out the door. As the consumer, this is a consumer-driven market just as much as anything else. And if the consumers demand more, you know, I think they would get more. I talked to Dr. Gross and I asked him who he thought was at fault, you know, with bringing on this horrible system that we're in. And I think doctors play a role, definitely. But I think patients need to take responsibility for it, too. I mean, the fact that patients wanted doctors to, it was okay for doctors to call in prescriptions, not see them, that was a problem. And that it was okay for patients to be sent to a physician, never meet them ever, and just see their healthcare extenders, I don't think that wasn't a great thing either. But it became okay, it became the norm, and patients started getting less value, paying more, and not complaining about it. Had that stopped, and had patients said to their insurance companies, I don't want, and they did at some point. Back in 2001 when they were, decapitation was the major healthcare delivery, meaning HMO, you had to go to your primary care, get a referral to your specialist, get a referral for whatever you wanted to do. Patients hated that. They were up in arms and they complained about it, and it died. It went away. And we started seeing people go to PPO and the HMO plans really dropped. They're now back under Obamacare. That's what Obamacare is. It is an HMO-style plan, you know, covered up in bronze and platinum and gold, all that other stuff. But basically what you're going to do is you're going to have to go through a gatekeeper in order to access care. And the gatekeeper gets to give an approval or a denial. But it's arbitrary. The government makes it up every day what's going to be considered to be payable or not. And patients are going to be held to that system. They won't be able to really appeal, because you're appealing to ultimately the human health secretary or the universal health care czar, which is part of the Obamacare bill. They haven't appointed one yet, but basically, ultimately, the government gets to decide whether you live or die. That's how this is set up. So if patients now, this is a crossroads for patients, those who say, I'm worth more, I'm worthy of being treated as an individual, I'm worthy of knowing how much this is going to cost, I want to determine the value of my health care and decide that I don't want to pay, you know, $600 to walk into an ER where they're going to give me some aspirin and send me to a doctor without even touching me. Now, I've heard these stories now. You go into the ER and it's got problems, they give them Tylenol and they send them to their primary care or the specialist without a diagnosis, but they still pay the money. If you decide that you don't want to do that, then you need to shop around and realize, as we talked about before in Atlanta, North Atlanta Urgent Care, perfect example of board-certified ER doctors who actually know ER medicine, have trained in it, certified in it. If you walk into their urgent care, as opposed to the doc in the box, as people call, or the Walgreens centers, they're going to know exactly how to treat an emergency, and actually treat it, diagnose it, fix it for $135 flat. I don't think anybody, if they knew that existed, would go to an ER and wait for hours, not know who's treating them, not have a diagnosis, spend all this money, and then they could actually spend a flat fee. And I mean, it's amazing, $135. Covers everything when you walk in the door, x-rays, blood work, seeing the physician. That's amazing. So that mindset or that template is being reproduced all over the country. The only common denominator between all of these entities is the fact that they're independent. That's what you're looking for. Somebody who's not being paid by the physician, I'm sorry, by the hospital, is not a huge group that has to depend on volume, volume to keep them afloat. So doctors seeing 50, 60 patients a day, you can't get care like that. You're basically getting a prescription and walking out the door. So if you can talk to a doctor who is independent, who practices with the Hippocratic Oath as their forefront, it's the thing that drives them. It's not about money. That's about getting you better. If someone is willing to make a deal, if you pay at the time of service, everybody is willing to make a deal now. You can get 30, 40, 50% off, up to 70% off in some of the surgery centers if you pay at the time of service. Quality is value now. You have to pay for things, but it's not going to be what you think. It's not going to be as expensive as you think. That's what people, I think, just can't believe that. It just seems to them healthcare equals expensive, and they've got that PR mindset. It's been ingrained in people that healthcare is unaffordable. You need us to help you afford healthcare, and us meaning the insurance companies and government. You don't need them. Stop, get outside of that little shell that you're in, and you'll realize that you can get better care, quality care, at affordable prices. And if you go, again, I'm just going to give another plug to aapsonline.org, which is the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons. It's like a consortium of all doctors, independent physicians, who think like I do, where it's all about patient care across the country. So you don't have to live in Georgia. You can be in California or Nevada, wherever. This is someplace you can just go and search. Become a member. Doctors for Patient Care, another organization that's really trying to do something to enhance the doctor-patient relationship. Break outside of this system that is the killing field, honestly. and you're going to be paying for the privilege for them to tell you no. If you're spending money, you get to decide yes or no. That's the way it should be. And the doctor who's willing to work with you is who you should be with. And if enough people do this, it will break the system. You don't need a million people to do this. You don't need everybody to change their mind. You only need a certain percentage, a small percentage, maybe 5% of people who opt out of the system. The system will collapse under its own weight because it's not even sustainable if everybody were in the system. So make your move now. Do not go on healthcare.gov, because once you give your information, you're trapped. If you haven't done it, don't do it. And go to self-pay patient, libertyhealthshare.org. You go to my website, drlenagegeorge.com. There's links to all of these things on it. So you need to just start doing your own due diligence. Realize that you can save a ton of money. Start changing your lifestyle. I mean, this is all about you. No one else should run this except you. And doctors who are willing to work with you, that's who you need to work with. And I'm off my soapbox now, Dave.
No, I just wanted to add to it. They can go to your site or to America's Web Radio and your site. Go to Wednesdays and just click on Wednesday, scroll down to Medicine on Call. And if they go to the last two shows, the one with Dr. Lee Gross last week and Dr. Keith Smith was on, and they both tell you there are alternatives. There are alternatives to operating rooms and procedural rooms that your doctor may or may not send you to within a hospital that will be extremely costly. $1,800, $3,000 procedure in a hospital you can get done for pennies on the dollar. $800, $200, $300, $400 for the same thing that a hospital is going to charge you $3,000 or $4,000 for. You can go on an outpatient situation and get it done someplace else. Lab work you can get done at certainly a reduced rate. Dr. Gross down in Florida has an incredible system. And, if you're friends with a doctor or you're friends with your doctor and they're not aware of AAPS or they're not aware of Dr. Gross or Dr. Smith, or Dr. George, I should add, then tell them about it and tell them to, start research. They can do something. They can get out of the box. They don't have to be herded around like defenseless sheep. They can do something, and it's time for them to do it. By the way, with that said, I got off my soapbox, and it's time to get out of here. I didn't realize that it was getting so late, but Dr. George, as always, thank you so much.
And, it's a pleasure.
You're doing a service. If we just get one person a week, that we're still making gains. And we will be back with Medicine on Call this time next week. Again, thank you, Dr. George.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
This is America's Webradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.